السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Brothers, for those who don't know me yet, my name is Hashim. I'm 37 years old. I come before you from Sydney, Australia. We come in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal to spread His message and hopefully lead by example to encourage other brothers to come back and repay the favor in Australia, inshallah. Brothers, before I start, I want to apologize to all the elders. If I say something wrong, please forgive me. Because my story only goes for about 10 minutes, but it's very sensitive. Brothers, I'm 37 years old. My mum and dad were born in Lebanon. They migrated to Australia in 77. They had me in 78 in Australia. And my father had this dream, you know, his kids to become good Muslim boys. So from a very young age, he put us in a Muslim school. And I stayed there all the way till I was 12, and then I made it my mission to get kicked out of school. I'd done everything humanly possible until they kicked me out. From when they kicked me out, I was 12 years old. I thought, this is life now, I'm free. I can start living. From 12 years old to 35 years old, I did not practice Islam. I didn't pray, I didn't fast. In fact, anything that to do with them, I ran the other way. Even though I came from a perfect home, mum and dad pray, they've been to Hajj, my sister's been to Hajj, all my younger brothers have been to Hajj, but I chose another path. When I hit 30 years old, I started taking drugs. Very heavy drugs. Drugs in Australia, my brothers, is very expensive because Australia is an island and anything that comes into Australia, they got to obviously pay a couple of people to get it in. So subhanAllah, I found out here it's $40 for this much. In Australia, it's $350 for the same amount, same drug. I thought it was a social thing. I had everything under control. One a day, then it went to two a day, then to three a day. To cut a long story short, because we don't have much time, my habit turned to $10,000 a week. In the meantime, a girl comes into my life. She's from an island called the Cook Islands, where, from what I understood back then, there's not a single Muslim on that island. She comes into my life, and she wants to know, she goes, what religion are you? I said, I'm Muslim. I said, what are you? She goes, I'm Jehovah's Witness. She says, can you tell me about Islam? I mean, I can't tell you much besides, you know, we believe in God and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, how can I tell more? So I went to a bookstore and I bought her a book in English and Arabic. So she started reading. She got hungry. She wanted to know more, so she went to a school. I didn't take her, she went. She fell in love with the deen that much, she came to Islam, alhamdulillah. Then from there, she wants to know more about deen, so she goes and starts studying Sharia. When she starts Sharia, she puts the niqab on. When she put the niqab on, I grabbed the niqab and I took it off. I said, what's this? We live in Australia. You don't need this. So she ignored me. But now it's been 5 years. 2 weeks later, she put it on again. I grabbed it again and she goes, we need to talk. I said, all right, let's talk. She goes, listen, you've been 5 years drowning and I haven't said anything to you. But now I'm giving you two roads. One road, we can end it here because I want to follow my deen and go to the next level. And being with you on this level, I'm never going to reach the next level. So we can break up peacefully and I'll make dua for Allah to give you hidayah and I'll go on my merry way. Or the other road is you can give up everything and we can go on this journey together. So I stopped and thought, okay, this sounds good, but why? What? There's nothing wrong with me. By then, brothers, I need you to visualize something. I was on drugs 24 hours a day unless I was sleeping. And then I needed to sleep and the drug I take takes you right up to the clouds. So on the black market, I got a tablet called Xanax. I'm sure there's a lot of doctors in the building. Xanax is banned in Australia now. Very hard to get. They will only give it to you to bring you off on a low dosage, but they physically won't prescribe you Xanax to start with, because it gives you dementia. Then while you're on drugs, you live the lifestyle, you start drinking alcohol. Then with the alcohol, you need a cigarette. So I was on four of them every day. So anyway, I woke up the next day, I thought, okay, well, if she wants me to go on a good path, there's only one person that can help me, and that's the doctor. So I jumped in the car and went to the doctor I've been going to for 20 years. I was the first one on his door. Went inside, good morning, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm depressed. Why are you depressed? I don't know. So he sent me to a psychiatrist. I took the referral letter, went to the psychiatrist, sat down with him for maybe half an hour, asked me questions, he goes, nothing wrong with you. However, here's a bill for $250. So next day I went back to the same doctor, I said, he told me there's nothing wrong. He goes, well, maybe there's nothing wrong. I said, no, there's got to be something. Maybe I've got brain tumor. So send me to get a scan. So he sends me to get a scan. I come back the next day with the results. Again, nothing wrong. I go, there's got to be something wrong. He goes, there's nothing. I go, so send me for a blood test. Maybe it's cancer or leukemia or something. So by now the doctor's getting very frustrated. So anyway, he sends me, does the blood test, nothing wrong. This is Saturday now. I've been going, coming back to the doctors, and my wife just sitting there, not saying nothing. Sunday came, it was 9 o'clock at night, I was standing on my porch in front of my house. The phone rings, it's about 9:30 at night. It's my father, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. He said to me, son, have you had enough? What does this guy know? He doesn't know anything. You know, when you're on drugs, you think that you're in control, and you think that you're the one thinking. But wallahi, brothers, the drug is thinking for you. The drug is talking for you. The drug is responding for you. The drug is controlling your whole life. So I said, yeah, I've had enough. He goes, look at everything you've got. Look at all the fancy cars in the driveway. You've got gold and cars and fancy everything. I'm not getting into detail because I don't want anyone to envy dunya. He goes, everything you've got, are you happy? I said, no. I go, but I've been to the doctor and he sent me to every doctor. And the last time I went to him, he kicked me out. He said, you can't come back here anymore. There's nothing wrong with you. You're driving me crazy. He goes, me son, but you haven't been to the best doctor in the world. I go, you know a doctor. And you're ringing me now? He goes, yeah, he's open now. So I remember I looked at my clock, it's 10 o'clock at night. And forgive me, brothers, I know there's a lot of Indians in the mosque. The first thing that came to my mind, he's got to be an Indian doctor. They're the only ones that work 24 hours a day. They don't close. So I go, well, is he Indian? And he said, no. He goes, do you want to speak to him? I said, yeah. He goes, and I guarantee you he will help you. I said, who is he? He goes, son, kul ma Allah wa la tubali. Be with God and don't worry. Didn't make sense. So he goes, me go make wudu, pray to the Qat. And he knows to the Qat, ask God to help you. And son, if he doesn't help you, do whatever you want. He goes, but in this turuq heart, you need to be very sincere. Open your heart to God. I said, okay. So I went to the bathroom, turned the tap on, and I'm like, honestly, I said, where do I start? I haven't done it in 23 years. So have a guess who I called to help me. The Jehovah's Witness that came to Islam. I said, can you help me make wudu? So she comes along and she's teaching me, the one who was born Muslim, how to make wudu. So I make wudu. You know, she puts a prayer mat for me. She does the angle. Because I've never prayed in that house. We've been in that house for 7 years. I never prayed once. So she puts the mat. And I'm okay. I'm just about to say Allahu Akbar. But I'm trying to memorize the Fatiha again. I can vaguely remember. But I can't remember it properly. So she went and got her notes from when she first started reading. She wrote them in English and she put them for me on the prayer mat. So I went, Allahu Akbar, and I started praying. And I remembered my father said to me, when your head hits the ground in sujood, that's your mobile phone, between you and God, and it's an unlimited time phone call. Speak as much as you want. Talk to him. So I went down the first time, and you know, subhanAllah, and I came to talk to him, and I said, man, I haven't spoken to God in 23 years. How am I going to ask him now for help? So I started choking and crying, and I gave up, and I came up for the second rakah. Then I said to myself, I got nothing to lose. I went down for the second one. When I was down in the second one, I said to him, God, be with me and I'll be with you forever. So all I said to him, be with me and I'll be with you forever. And I came up out of my prayer, finished, Samai Ikram with Allah, and I got up. Wallahi, brothers, I don't know what happened. Something hit me. I don't know what it was. I can never explain it. So my wife is sitting in the lounge room. I went there, I said, guess what? She goes, what? I said, it's all over. Everything is over. She goes, what do you mean it's all over? I said, as of now, I'm stopping everything. She asked me, hold on. Little bit. It's good, that's a good start that you admit it, but we'll go little bit. Okay, nah, it's over now. So she goes, oh my God, you've gone from drugs to losing your mind. So she rings my father. My father gets on the phone, he gets settled down. Tomorrow we'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will help you, and we'll go from there. This is beautiful. So next day, my dad picks me up, and we go to the doctor. Guess what, your doctor? The one that kicked me out. And he looks at me, he goes, you again. So we sit down, me, my dad, and my wife, and he goes to my dad, I told him I can't help him because he hasn't told you the truth. What's the truth? I said, I'm on Xanax and drugs and alcohol and cigarettes. How long? I said, 5.5 years. He goes, okay, so he starts writing prescriptions. He goes, how much Xanax are you on? And I told him, he goes, okay, I'm going to give you Xanax, but on a lower dosage. I'll call the government, get an approval, because you can't get this drug. I used to get it on the black market. And he gave me another prescription for the alcohol, another prescription for the cigarettes, patches, and so on for everything. When he gave them to me, wallahi brothers, I tore him up. So then he looked at my dad and he's got really angry this time. He goes, I told you your son is crazy. And I said to him, I've made a contract with God and I'm not going to break it. So then he grabbed a paper, I'll never forget it, and he drew a line straight, then he went down. Then he wrote 0, and just before the big cliff drop, he wrote 5. And he turned it to me, I go, what's that? He goes, now you think you're Superman because from 0 to 5 is 5 days the drugs is going to stay in your system. After 5 days, your body's going to go into shock. All the poison is going to get out of your body, and your body's not going to know if it's Arthur or Martha. If you don't get to a hospital quick, it's maybe good night. I can't tell you what's going to happen to you. I said, if that's what God's written for me, that's what I'm going to do. My brothers, to cut a long story short, from that day till now, I've never taken a medication or a drug or a cigarette or an alcohol and had a single craving for anything. It's been, in next month it'll be 3 years. I just heard the Sheikh saying, rely on Allah, no one else. And wallahi brothers, we all underestimate the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. My message to everybody is without God you've got no happiness. Without attending the masjid on a regular basis, you've got no happiness. And wallahi, the Sheikh summed it up the other day perfectly. He goes, it's like a mobile phone. You know, you've got a mobile phone, you plug it in the charger. If you don't charge it, you use it, eventually the phone goes what? Dead. This is like your soul and your iman. If you don't attend the masjid on a regular basis to recharge yourself, eventually you're going to be dead on the inside, but you might be alive walking around, but you're a dead soul. That's exactly like a mobile phone. And this is what brought me here to South Africa. I just want to keep recharging my mobile phone. Brothers, we've got two other people here with us today that I'd like to introduce to you. The first brother is Jamshed. Where is he? Brothers, while we're waiting for Jamshed, I want to tell you the beauty of my experiences in Khurush. I was sitting in Masjid al-Nur, not this one, the one in Australia, sitting against the wall, you know, just starting to recharge my soul. Sheikh Hamar, God bless him, was sitting and giving a lecture exactly like he gave right now. Exactly. I've never heard of Khuruj. What's Khuruj? You know, I've lived, you know, if I want to go travel, I go 6-star hotel, business class, airfares, you know, hire cars, limousines, pick me up. I've never lived this life. Anyway, he's given a talk about going on Khuruj. My wife is upstairs in the women's section. I'm downstairs. And I'm playing on my mobile phone. I wasn't really listening. And then he goes, "Who's ready, brothers?" And that's all I heard. Go away. I'm not going away anyway. So then, I get a message on my phone. It's from my wife. "You better have put your name down." So I wrote back, "Yeah, of course I already have." So I got up quickly. I put my name down. And the brother that took me is the brother sitting right there. His name is Meher. Wallahi, I owe my life to this man. This man has stood by me through thick and thin. Anyway, I put my name down. And we're all sitting down. And now, okay, I'm going somewhere. I go, "Brother, where are we going?" He goes, "Queensland." That's like nearly over 1,000 kilometers away from where we are. I go, "Beautiful, how are we going?" He goes, "In that." I look at this van, brothers. Allahu Akbar. This van is ready to go to scrap metal. Brother, half the seats are missing. I go, "We're going to go in that to Queensland." He goes, "In that." I said, "Listen, I'll do you a deal. Don't tell anybody." I thought maybe I can hustle him, you know. I said, "I'll do you a deal. I'll pay for everyone's airfare. Don't tell anyone. And we'll fly to Queensland." He goes, "Jazakallah khair, brother, but we're going in the bus." Astaghfirullah al-Azim. So for the next week, I offered to hire a brand new bus. I offered to take him in my personal cars. I offered everything. The answer was no, we're going in this. They called it the Barakah van. Allahu Akbar, you know, if Allah didn't bless this van, you wouldn't even start. That's how this van is blessed. We're scared to wash it because the blessing might wash away. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we're headed to Queensland. My last hustle was, I got to drive, brother, because I get sick. But really, it wasn't because I'm getting sick. Really, I was getting sick in the stomach thinking, I'm not going to trust anyone to drive this dodgy van besides me, because there's a lot of cliffs on the way. We get to Queensland, brothers. I spent, it was meant to be 14 days, I done 10. I got homesick. I gave him some pathetic excuse. Shaitan played in my head. "Your wife, you know, she misses you, hurry." So I jumped on a plane, you know, I gave him some silly story. I went home. Wallahi, brothers, 5 minutes I was home. 5 minutes. And it was like somebody rang me and told me, "Your mother died." Very depressed, very sad. My wife goes, "You were sending me messages, I miss you. I can't wait to see you. Why, man?" The brothers came back after 4 days. I get a message, "We're back." I don't know how. We're talking over 1,000 kilometers there, then a good 2,000-3,000 kilometers of driving given Dawah, then another 1,000 kilometers back in the van. Long time. I said, "Do you want to go again?" And all the brothers, "Yeah, let's go again." Cut a long story short, the same man that put me in the Barakah van sends me a message, "I'll pick you up in 10 minutes. Guess where we went, brothers? 1,000 kilometers back to the same spot. Every time I go on Khuruj, I think, what am we doing this moment? When I come home, I miss it. South Africa came, and wallahi, I was cold feet, cold feet, cold feet, cold feet, and the wife, you know, the day before I left, just crying, you know, and me, my heart's like butter for women, man. So, forgive me, brothers, but I started crying with her. I came to the mosque, and the brother sees me, and I'm all sad. He goes, "We're going to sleep here tonight and leave tomorrow. But however, I'll break the rule for you. You go sleep at home tonight." When he said that, you know, I ran home. But when I came to South Africa, brother, wallahi, wallahi, I don't even miss my own children. But this being on the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Shaykh described it for me, he goes to me, this is Mujahid, like you're on the path of Allah. Anything that happens to you, you're a soldier of Allah. Your wife can't give you that. Your children can't give you that. Your comfort of your home can't give you that. Wallahi, being on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I couldn't buy that with all my wealth. I'm happy to sleep on the floor. I'm happy to use any bathroom. As long as I'm on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, bring it on. The brother to my right is a brother who was born in Afghanistan and then migrated to Australia. He's going to kill me after this because he doesn't want to talk. So if I can have a couple of bodyguards after the talk, then listen. Brothers, he came to Australia and like me lived a little dark life. And I'm going to pass over the microphone to him. You want me to say it? Okay. The brother came to Australia. Again, look at this. He lived in an Islamic country. We've all heard of Afghanistan and Sharia law and all this sort of stuff. Came to Australia, seen the Western world. Again, not recharging the mobile phone with him, man. He ends up the leader of one of the biggest bikie gangs in Australia. Brothers, bikie gangs in Australia will shoot another Muslim for selling drugs in the same area point blank and kill him. Look where he is now. I asked him when we were on the plane, I said, brother, why the change of life? He goes, brother, I wanted happiness. Subhanallah, everyone I talk to that changed, everybody says the same thing. They want happiness. It just proves to you that money, power, he had power and money. I only had money, I'm only short, so no power. But didn't bring happiness, brothers. Let me ask you, brother. What made you come on the path of Allah Azza wa Jal?
To look for happiness.
Why did you come to South Africa?
To change my lifestyle.
His answers are very short, huh? Maybe I should move over. Brother, what's the best advice you can give to people about what we need in Australia right now?
We need people like you to come down and give us dawah. Yeah.
Finish? I'm too scared, brothers, forgive me. The next one's a little bit smaller, we can pick on him more. Oh yeah, brother, this is an example, but the brother will wear long sleeve in 40 degrees because he goes to me, brother, I'm not proud of my past. May Allah reward you for coming up, brother, and please forgive me, literally. The next brother we can pick on is a little bit smaller. Brother Isa. Everybody's laughing and you haven't even said anything about
that. Unless you mention I'm white.
That's a good point. Brothers, this is Isa's very first time ever on any khuruj. You normally we start in Australia and we go 2 days, 3 days, 10 days. Isa dove straight in the ocean. Brother Isa's a German. Mum and Dad were born in Germany. They migrated to Australia, where Isa was born. And I'm going to pass the microphone over. I hope he'll talk a little bit more than the other one.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just a brief rundown on who you are and how you came to Islam, Isa.
Allah, I'll tell you just a brief, I'm 43 years old. Before I come to Islam, I was a Catholic, went to Catholic schools all my life, church on through the school on a Wednesday, church on a Sunday with my mother. It was a German church we had in Croydon suburb. And for some reason, I just went with the flow. There was no direction. There was no meaning, but I still went with the flow. I learned about Jesus, peace be upon him, and I knew there was something else, but I just don't know what it was. And so I just went with it, and I had a Muslim friend, Palestinian. And subhanAllah, I just asked the question. It just come up just out of nowhere. And I asked him, I said, why don't you believe in Jesus, peace be upon him? And mashallah, Allahu Akbar, he said, what do you mean we don't believe in Jesus, peace be upon him? We love that messenger of God. And the moment, the instant he said that, there was, I don't know what it was, I can't explain it, but it was a key, a light, the puzzle, the whole meaning of religion just hit me all in one hit. And subhanAllah, it just brought so much meaning into my life.
Brother Isa, since you've come to Islam, is there anyone else in your family who's embraced Islam?
Forgive me, brothers, I'm so afraid, but during my journey of being a Muslim, I've had a lot of tests and zakwah. I've had a lot of tests, and unfortunately, I've had two separations. I've got two beautiful kids, one to each wife, and so I'm separated now. And I moved back home, and I, at 43 years old, to move back home under your mother's roof is a little bit embarrassing, and it wasn't planned that I had the separation. But you know, they were two non-Muslims, so you know, I'm part to blame. And my nephew and his wife had come over and seen my mum, and she asked me, could she watch me pray? And it was Asr, and she watched me pray Asr, and there was nothing. She said nothing, and she was asking me basic questions about Islam. And I was just given a bit of da'wah and just a little bit of insight about Islam. And subhanAllah, a week later, she come up and she wanted to be a Muslim. And mashallah, and my nephew, he hung around the gangsters, and I explained to him, I rang him, I said, look, your wife wants to be a Muslim, you know, that's what Allah wants, you've got to accept that. And I don't care, I won't explain exactly what he said, but I don't care, I am me, I don't care what she believes in, I won't follow it. And I said, no worries, but you must respect that she wants to be a Muslim. And he said, I don't care, she can be whatever she wants, I am me, and that's it, and on her merry way. Anyway, it was 1 week into Ramadan last year, and his wife rang me, and she was following Islam for 3 weeks, and she says, your nephew wants to be a Muslim. And, you know, and I couldn't believe it. So my first thing, and because he was like the gangsters. And I said, no, look, I said, please, you can't play around with this. They can't joke with me. And she goes, I'm honestly telling you now, he wants to be a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. And that night, the first week in the Ramadan, he became a Muslim. And mashallah. And you know what? And everyone told me, you know, when I become a Muslim, make du'a. And I'm thinking, make du'a? Will Allah listen to me? You know, and now, I've made du'a for the whole family now, and you know, my nephew, his wife, my nephew's sister now just married an Islamic man, and now there's four of us out of, I think there's 15 of us now, and now it's just getting hard because, you know, I make du'a for my mum too. Inshallah.
Quick question, two more. Where would your life be without Islam?
Oh, wouldn't be sitting amongst these beautiful brothers, for starters. Allah Alam, I would have no direction, no meaning in life. Now I finally have meaning in my life. Who knows, Hashem, where I'd be, brother.
These brothers don't know what no meaning in Australia means. Can you just give them a brief description of where your life was before Islam? these brothers, maybe a lot of them have never been to Australia. Can you just give them a brief description
of Australia?
Of what your life was like before Islam?
Oh, okay. Yeah, after work, the boys would say, let's go hit the pub, have a cold one, which is a pub where you drink alcohol, talk rubbish, you know, and thought that was the life, you know. Talk to women, thinking, wow, this is a life, this is a life. And you know what, really, it's nothing. And it's been proven, you know, don't take this, you know, like, don't focus too much on dunya. We've had two examples here, and you know, he's had the life of money, women, cars, and he still wasn't happy. And it's just a prime example, and like the chef said, we've got movie stars that earn millions and millions of dollars and they're still not happy. Let's not get bored of Islam. We should, when we pick up a Quran, we should be happy to pick that up. And that many people would love to have what we've got to look. And you know, subhanAllah, to open up the Quran and say, this is Allah's words. Not many people have that chance. And some of us, you know, oh, Quran, you know, astaghfirullah azim, you know, and have the attitude when salat comes, have naughty now, oh, salat, you know, Allahu Akbar, let's be eager to go pray. Let's go, let's get eager to go in the path of Allah. It's not an inconvenience, this religion. This religion has come to us. It's easy for us to spread the word now. Our sahaba, our messengers had it very hard. We've got it easy. We've got no excuses. Like the Sheikh said, we can't find excuses. What are we going to say on the day of judgment when we get the big screen and we sat on our hands and did nothing? And we had sahaba die for us to spread this word.
On that note, Isa, what brought you to South Africa?
Allah. Allah brought me here.
Why'd you come?
Why'd I come? Wow, a very, very hard question. Why did I come? Why did I come? Because I needed tuning up, like my car. My car needs servicing. If my car doesn't have oil or water, it won't run. And I needed somewhere to get serviced. And, you know, and a lot of brothers I asked that come on Khuruj, and they said it's very wonderful here. And they weren't wrong. I mean, I don't want to go back. I miss home. But I don't want to go back. It's just fantastic here, and all the brothers and warming. And
last question, Isa. Now that you're on the path of Dawah, you feel it's important, and why?
Sorry, brother. I'm very weak. You know, I've got a soft heart, and you know when I
how important Dawah is in my life. Well, inshallah, it saved me from Jahannam, and I want to save many, many you know, inconsistent Muslims and non-Muslims. And when I hear about the hellfire, it's just, it's scary, brothers, and I don't want any of us going there, and yeah, so. Zakhla hair, brothers. Forgive me.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, brothers. Like you see, my brothers, mashallah, he's just an example, subhanallah, of people that just came out first time, you know, for 40 days in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the effect on their life, and the stories, and the background. So Allah, my brothers, those who are, mashallah, born in South Africa as an environment is a million times better. Everything is available here, madaris, mashallah, dar ulooms, you know, madaris of tahfiz, masajid, Allahu Akbar. So please, my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He gives ni'mah, He also wants to see how we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these ni'mah and bounties. And thanking Allah is not just by saying alhamdulillah. Being grateful to Allah has to be by action and by sacrifice. The world is waiting, my brothers, wallahi. Wallahi, people nowadays are so thirsty for deen. So thirsty for deen, we don't have to tashkil anyone anymore. Just any jama'ah goes anywhere and people are ready. Wallahi, my brothers, from Masjid al-Nur, a jama'ah is coming. As soon as we return, another jama'ah is coming back. We have new boys ready and no old workers to take them. People are ready to go. People are thirsty. People are tired of the life of dunya. Wallahi, we need more effort, my brothers. The world now doesn't need 10, 15, 100 jama'ats. We need thousands of jama'ats to go out on the path of Allah to make a change. So all of us ready, inshallah, my brothers? If you're ready to carry the amana of deen, please, my brothers.
Sit down.
Brothers, please, I want you all to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your intentions. You saw, my brothers, the effect, wallahi. Wallahi, people are ready. People are in need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for our action and our movement. So please, inshallah, show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your intentions. Who is ready for 4 months, inshallah, my brothers? 4 months. Make your intention, inshallah.
Stand up, inshallah. The whole masjid should be standing up tonight. We see the brothers tearing. They're actually crying.
Oh, brother, stand up, mashallah.
The whole masjid should stand up. Make your intention, inshallah. Allah has been so kind to us. When are we going to stand up? Mashallah. Brothers, please write the brothers' names. Inshallah, we will write, make a sincere intention. Beg, cry to Allah. Allah is the only one who will take us out in His path. We must be sincere, inshallah. Allah knows when Qiyamah is going to take place. We can see things happening in the world. Allah has brought this Mubarak Jamaat to us. We had Sheikh Yunus from France the other day. So many stories he had mentioned to us. Real life stories. These were people who witnessed a different type of path. Allah gave them hidayat. How grateful they are to Allah. This is an eye-opener to all of us tonight. So brothers, let us be brave, inshallah, and give mashallah. There's so many brothers. Many more brothers should write their names, please.
Okay, brothers, sit down, mashallah. Allah accept all the niyat, inshallah, of the brothers, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, my beloved brothers. The beautiful question which this brother asked, why did you come to South Africa? Wallah, my dear brothers, we must make shukr to Allah, Rabbul Izzat, that Allah has saved our country, selected our country, my respected brothers, where this brother here, Hashim, he's an Arab, my dear brothers. In his blood streams, my dear brothers, running the blood of Sahaba. He's coming from that country, my dear brothers, where Allah's Nabi made dua. Yeah. Allah Ta'ala has made dua for the people of Sham. Our brother here who sat on this side, my dear brothers, from Afghanistan. The brother who sat over here, my respected brothers, is from Germany. Just an indication, my dear brothers, the whole world is waiting for Islam. But we, my dear brothers, we have neglected that great work of Dawat ilallah. The whole world is waiting, my dear brothers. Africa is waiting, Australia, Europe, America, South America. That is why we are telling the brothers, go and learn this work of Dawat ilallah. Go to India and Pakistan, Bangladesh, where the whole world is going today. Dear brothers, in this time and age, Allah has selected this land of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh for the revival of deen in the four corners of the world, inshallah. So we're not going to go any much more longer, my dear brothers. We tell all the brothers, Jazakum Allah khair, ahsan al-jaza, my dear brothers, for coming and affording these brothers the opportunity for showing your people's goodwill, for extending your people's welcome to our brothers from Australia, for showing, my dear brothers, your people's hospitality. You have sat for so long and listened to them so intently and so devotedly. My dear brothers, may Allah Ta'ala make them to grow from strength to strength, inshallah. And just like have they come to our country, my dear brothers, may Allah Ta'ala bring more and more of them, my dear brothers, to our country to sit in the company of our ulama. To sit in this environment, my dear brothers, which was established also with a lot of sacrifice. This environment that we see here in South Africa, my dear brothers, did not fall from the skies, my dear brothers. It was not just automatically came about, my dear brothers. Great sacrifice was given by Bhai Paja Rahmatullah Ali. Great sacrifice was given by our elders, my dear brothers. I tell the brothers that Bhai Paja Rahmatullah, when he left this dunya, my dear brothers, he did not have a lounge suite in his house, my dear brothers. When people came to his house for janazah to give the ghusl, my dear brothers, when they opened the cupboard, the whole door fell out of there, came out in their hands. Nobody knew, my dear brothers, what kind of life he was leading. My dear brothers, there was nothing in his home. Nothing in his home, my dear brothers, but in the homes of the entire South Africa, Allah Ta'ala made Huffaz to become inside there. Ulama came inside there, my dear brothers, and Allah Ta'ala spread the deen. So today, my dear brothers, people from Australia are coming to look at this environment, my dear brothers. So Allah Ta'ala give you all jazayah khair, my dear brothers. Inshallah, every Friday night in Masjid Hilal, my dear brothers, just down the road, programs of this nature takes place, my dear brothers. Jamaat from all over the world comes over there. Let us, inshallah, attend that program. We'll all do that, inshallah, my dear brothers. Jazakallah khair. And Sheikh Umar's program will be tomorrow, inshallah, for Jummah Salah here, inshallah. The Jamaat, mashallah, will be going to Peter Maritzburg. Gee, there's going to be a students program at Peter Maritzburg on Saturday night. And then they're going to Newcastle. Onwards like this, my dear brothers, and they're going to Transvaal. So, my dear brothers, this is a great opportunity that we had. My dear brothers, keep on coming in your hundreds and thousands and benefit from this great majalis. Jazakallah.
Very important, brothers. Australia is very, very weak in tabligh. You know, we are very weak people. When we send one jama'ah, South Africa should send 10 back. Correct? 1 to 10 at least. This is the fair proportion. We need more jama'ahs, mashallah, to come to visit Australia, inshallah. Beautiful country, wallahi, beautiful people, but we need more jama'ahs, inshallah. We all make intention, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu feek. Make dua, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa li azim sultanik. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد بعد الرضا ولك الحمد والشكر أبدا أبدا اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا بيننا ولا حولنا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم أخرجنا في سبيلك اللهم أخرجنا في سبيلك دعاة إليك وإلى دينك مبلغين عن رسولك اللهم استخدمنا ولا تستبدلنا يا رب العالمين اللهم استخدمنا ولا تستبدلنا يا رب العالمين اللهم أحسن ختامنا وعلى الإيمان الكامل توفنا واجعل آخر كلامنا من الدنيا أن لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك جزاكم الله